Radio.
Salvation is from the Jews. An interview with Roy Showman. I'm currently joined here today by Jewish to Catholic convert Roy Showman, who is out here in Australia at the moment doing a series of talks on his conversion. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm happy to be here.
Now, of course, as Christians, we're currently living almost 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And so Christians have become a little bit, I guess the term you could use is desensitized to the connection between Judaism and Christianity. However, you don't have that 2,000 years. You have that within your own lifetime. So I just wanted you to describe your own personal experience of how your Jewish background has illuminated your current Christian faith.
Well, I don't want to start out sounding like I'm giving a commercial and advertising something, because given my ethnic background, that's always a little bit sensitive. But that's exactly why I wrote Salvation is from the Jews, which is a book I wrote a number of years ago, which, first of all, that line, Salvation is from the Jews, is, of course, straight from the mouth of Jesus when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4, verse 22. And it surprised me. I mean, I entered the Catholic Church. It was obvious to me that the Catholic Church is essentially post-Messianic Judaism. It's the continuation of Judaism after the coming of the Jewish Messiah. And that it's not really a matter of two different religions. It's one religion in two phases that was divided by God into two phases. A preparatory phase, which was the phase of Judaism to prepare for the incarnation of the second person of the Most Holy Trinity as a man. And that, with the intention always being, of course, that once the second person of the Most Holy Trinity incarnated as a man and suffered and died, that special relationship between God and man, which had been restricted to the Jewish people for the purpose of bringing about the incarnation, would be opened up to the whole world through faith in Jesus and the sacraments of the Catholic Church. So it's really one and the same religion in kind of, you can think of it as preparatory phase and fulfillment phase, or you can think of it as sort of the womb and then giving birth and then the full flowering, but that it was really the same, divided by, of course, the biggest event that ever happened in the history of creation, which was the incarnation of God as man. And that was really obvious to me, and it was just a surprise to me that it wasn't obvious to every Catholic that I ran across. And that's why I wrote Salvation is from the Jews, simply to reflect that. So your question was, you know, how it kind of illumines or, you know, kind of sheds light on my understanding of Christianity, and in particular on Catholicism, because Catholicism is a much truer, much closer fulfillment of Judaism than Protestant Christianity, because if you read the Old Testament, Judaism was extremely sacramental. There was a tremendous sense of the sacred and of the supernatural, you know, in the liturgy and, of course, in the times of the Old Testament, in the animal sacrifice. And that kind of supernatural connection between God and man, which is mediated by the sacraments, is much more closely continued in Catholicism. And, of course, the ultimate example of that, which seems to me must be obvious to every Catholic. You can tell me as a cradle Catholic whether this is true or not, but the very first Mass was a Passover Seder. The Mass itself is, it's not that the Mass is a reflection of the Passover Seder. It's probably better to say the Passover Seder was a kind of foreshadowing or reflection in advance of the Catholic Mass. So this was obvious to you growing up too, right?
Yeah, I mean, probably not so much for Catholics. I think it's really obvious for Catholics are Bible Christians, but you're kind of Bible Christian Protestants. I mean, I've heard from testimonies from them that when they come to Mass, they realize, hang on a second, this is the Bible right here. You know, that's the Mass. It's not really something in my own personal experience that is fleshed out in my own education, but it's something that's really become apparent to me through conversion stories, somewhat ironically. It's not actually from my own Catholic upbringing, but I think it is something that, for my generation at least, it's become more obvious and we're more aware of it.
But it's not just that the Mass is a kind of expression or fulfillment of Scripture. It's that the Mass is a direct descendant of the kind of ultimate Jewish liturgy, which is the Passover Seder. Liturgy is probably not exactly the right word, but that it's actually, you know, it's actually a sacramental ceremony in Judaism, which became the foundation on which the Mass was placed. And I don't want to go too far down this line, but the central element in the Jewish celebration of Passover is the matzah, which is a reflection to some extent of the manna, the miraculous bread from heaven that fed the Jews in the desert. And so, of course, that was a foreshadowing of the Eucharist, which is the true miraculous bread from heaven that, of course, feeds, if God had his way, would feed every human being spiritually. So anyway, everywhere I look, almost everywhere I look in Catholicism, I see how Judaism was a prefigurement in advance, a picture in advance of the relationship between God and man, which flowered in the Catholic Church.
Do you think that this is something that is obvious to Jews who aren't following Christ? Do you think that this is something that you just simply need to make them aware of and they'll become Christians? Or is there something kind of there that's a wall? Because, I mean, it's not as though in Christ's own time, every one of his fellow Jews became a Christian.
I don't know if you have a New Testament handy, but that's a really central mystery and very interesting to me. And a lot of that mystery is illumined in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. And in the absence of the scripture in front of me, I'll have to, you know, kind of take it from my memory and it'll be perhaps slightly inaccurate. But St. Paul says, first of all, he says, "Has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it sought, the elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear, down to this very day. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see." So St. Paul is actually saying that the failure of the Jews to recognize Christ was in itself part of divine providence. He goes on to explain why that was the case. And he basically says it was for the sake of the Gentiles, because if the, I won't go too far down there without the scripture in front of me because I don't want to do it injustice. But then he says, then he closes that section by saying, "Lest you be wise in your own conceits, brethren, I want you to understand this mystery. A hardening has come upon part of Israel until the full number of Gentiles come in, and then all Israel will be saved." So the picture that St. Paul lays out in Romans 11 is that to a large extent, the eyes of the Jews were veiled until the full number of the Gentiles come in, and then the veil will be lifted and the Jews too will enter the church. We know from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 674 states, quote, "The glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel. This is a reflection of the Catholic doctrine which has been held since the earliest of the Church Fathers, and it's based on the words of Jesus himself in the scriptures, which is that essentially there will be a widespread conversion of the Jews to precede the second coming. A widespread conversion of the Jews has to happen for the second coming to happen. That's why that paragraph in the Catechism says the glorious Messiah's coming is suspended at every moment of history until his recognition by all Israel. And so again, there's that picture that the full number of the Gentiles has to come in first, and only then will that veil be lifted from the eyes of the Jews. So it makes perfect sense to me that, first of all, for everybody, including a cradle Catholic, faith is a gift. And I think you can't blame anybody who doesn't believe in God or who doesn't have the Christian faith, because it is really a gift. And I don't know what I did to deserve it, and I don't know what you did to deserve it, but I don't think I did very much to deserve it. And, it, you know, for some mysterious reason, God has wanted at least a large number of the Jews to maintain their Jewish identity and not enter the church until close to the second coming.
Have you seen, in your current personal context, any of your fellow Jews become Christians?
Oh, that's a great, very satisfying aspect of my ministry or apostolate or whatever, that I've even been the godfather of a number of Jews who have read my book or, you know, heard my talks or, you know, heard me on EWTN or something. And as a result, entered the church. It's been a small number, but it's been extremely gratifying. And for some reason that I don't quite understand, the most gratifying to me are the super religious Jews who then become extremely fervent Catholics. And I've had a couple of those, including in Israel. And as a matter of fact, one who was I was not instrumental. He came across me after he had already come to the truth of the Catholic Church. But at the time that he came to the truth of the Catholic Church, he was in Israel studying to be a rabbi, and now he's in California studying to be a Catholic priest. He just entered seminary. And so it's when these very religious Jews take all of their passion for God and all of their actually kind of typically, characteristically, you know, Jewish religious nature, and then just place it squarely in the middle of the Catholic Church, and they become extremely fervent and sold out Catholics, and just really beautiful to see.
Now, obviously, Judaism and the experience of Judaism is something that has illuminated yours and fellow Jewish converts' faith. For the Gentiles, though, is there a way that they can have their faith illuminated by Judaism? Is it something that's simply evident within the Catholic Church, or is there looking to the Old Testament or looking to Jewish culture? How can the Gentiles, Gentile Christians, really come to that full understanding of what Christ was speaking about in the New Testament?
I think that the more deeply they delve into Orthodox Catholicism, they're going to find the Jewish connections and the Jewish roots. If you read the Church Fathers, they wrote extensively, the Apostolic Fathers were all Jews, or almost all Jews. And, you know, in the first decades of the Church, it wasn't the Church. Of course, it was the Church, but it was seen as a sect of Judaism. It was decades before it kind of became apparent that it was anything other than the fulfillment of Judaism after the coming of the Jewish Messiah. And so some of the Apostolic Fathers wrote extensively the only way they saw Christianity was in the light of Judaism, so to speak. And some of my conversion took place at a Carthusian monastery. That's another interesting part of my story. But, you know, monastic life, monks spend hours a day chanting the Psalms. And, of course, the Psalms are all the Jewish liturgy. So I would say that in the United States, we have an expression, a Cape Catholic, which stands for Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, and Easter. You know, a Cape Catholic isn't going to see the connection with Judaism. But a serious Catholic who reads the saints and reads the early church and reads the Psalms or prays the Psalms and reads the Old Testament is, you know, 80% of Catholic sacred scripture. I don't see how they can miss the kind of the connection with Judaism.
Just taking a different tact now, do you think that there is a healing needed between Catholics and Jews? I mean, it's probably no secret that, I'm not sure if it's a reality, and I'm sure you deal with this in your book, but there is a tension between Christianity and Judaism. Do you think that there is a healing required there? And if so, how would that come about?
Conversion. I think that, in some sense, all that's, first of all, it is true. I mean, we're now in the 21st century. There were many centuries in the past when there was fairly active antagonism towards the Jewish community coming from Catholics, coming even from the infrastructure of the Catholic Church, sometimes even coming from the highest levels of the authority structure of the Catholic Church. But that hasn't been the case since, since the 1930s. I mean, certainly no one could argue that the popes since Pius XI have been anything but a philo-Semitic. In other words, rather than being anti-Semitic, kind of biased against Judaism, they've been on the other end of the spectrum and actively positive towards Judaism. It was Pius XI who said, it was scandalous at the time, but he said, anti-Semitism is entirely impermissible. Spiritually, we're all Jews. And then, John Paul II said, the Jews are our elder brothers in the church, and where you find Jesus Christ, you find Judaism, and so forth. Benedict XVI, as you were mentioning earlier, went even further, and the first volume of Jesus of Nazareth, which came out, was the most Jewish look at the Christianity that I've ever read. It saw Christianity and the life of Christ very, very much in the Jewish milieu, in the Jewish context. So I don't think any longer there's any, in other words, if we were talking at the end of the 19th century, I'd say, yes, there's a lot that the Christian community has to do to kind of lower the barriers and be more friendly towards the Jewish community and so forth. But I don't think that's any longer the case. Now I think there's only one aspect of anti-Semitism that still persists in the Catholic Church, and that's the refusal to evangelize the Jews. That's withholding Jesus from them. And that's the only place now that I think more effort has to be placed.
Well, you've preempted my next question then. I was going to say, how exactly can we evangelize on a personal level?
One of my patronesses or patron saints, of course, is St. Dieter Stein, who was grew up in an Orthodox Jewish family in the beginning of the 20th century. She had, first she was seriously Jewish, then she was atheist, then she became a philosopher in her search for truth, and then she found the truth of the Catholic Church, and she became a Carmelite nun, and as many of your listeners probably know, she perished at Auschwitz and was canonized by John Paul II in 1998. And her conversion came about. There were several major steps in her recognizing the truth of who Jesus was and of the Catholic Church. And one of those major steps was her very close friend was newly married, terribly in love with her young husband, when that young husband died in World War I. And Edith Stein went to her friend to help console her shortly after the death. And Edith Stein couldn't understand why her friend, who was Christian, was able to accept the death of her much beloved husband better than Edith Stein herself could accept it. But Edith Stein knew that it had something to do with her friend's fervent Christian faith. And she said to herself, someday, there's a mystery here, and someday I'll have to understand that mystery. And that was one of the openings of the door that led her to the truth of the Catholic faith. And that is, I think, the ultimate form of evangelization, which is the way to evangelize probably anybody, and certainly somebody who's actively has a chip on their shoulder about Christianity, which many Jews do, and which I certainly did, is simply to share your subjective experience of the Catholic faith with them, because that really can't be offensive to them. In other words, let them know the consolation you get from receiving the Eucharist, you know, why you go to Mass and how much it means to you. Let them know what your relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary means to you. Let them know, if it's the case, the peace you feel in saying the rosary. Let them know how you understand suffering and why you don't just consider it an unmitigated disaster and tear out your hair when something terrible happens, but you still feel that it's a loving act of divine providence, and somehow by offering up that suffering and uniting it with the suffering of Christ, you are bringing grace for yourself and for the whole world. Just let them know your subjective experience of the Catholic faith, because Catholics are much too shy. They don't want to be laughed at. They want, I mean, I'm not blaming anybody, but the natural human tendency is, to be afraid of scorn or you know, being mocked, or people thinking there's something, you know, they're like medieval superstitious peasants or something. If you just let people know what your experience, what you get from the Catholic Church and from the sacraments and from your prayer life, that is going to be something that they, you know, it's going to create an itch in their ear that they're not going to be able to get rid of. It's going to, because Catholics in a state of grace have what everyone else in the world is dying for. And too often they're not aware of that. And they just assume that everyone else has it also in their own religion or in whatever they're following. But that's not the case. The only people who really understand the meaning of life and what to do with suffering are people who know it from the Catholic faith. And so just share what you know, not like, you know, the kind of sometimes in the United States, it's a line of fundamentalist Protestants. They'll go up to somebody and say, you know, what do you think will happen to you when you die? You know, are you sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, unless you accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell and so forth. Not like that. In other words, you're not imposing your faith on others. You're not telling them what they have to do to get right with God. You're just expressing your own experience of your spirituality. And that's what's going to win people over. Sorry for the preaching.
No, that's fine. That's very, very true. So thank you very much, Roy, for joining me today. You will be...
Yes. Let me put in a little advertisement and be true to my roots. First of all, let me put in another advertisement, which is I do have a website called salvationisfromthejews.com. And everything, I mean, my whole life story is up there in text and in audio and in video. Lots of other stories of other Jewish entrants in the Catholic Church and my speaking schedule. But I arrived in Sydney on Friday, October 11th, and I will be here through Friday, October 18th. And I'll be speaking every night of that whatever it is, 7 days at a parish in and around Sydney. So if anyone's interested in my schedule, they can go to the website, salvationsfromthejews.com, and click on the link to, you know, upcoming appearances and find out where I'll be. And I will tell my witness testimony, which is frankly a lot of fun because it is miraculous. And I'll also talk, as I've been talking today, about the relationship between Judaism and the Catholic faith.
That was an interview with Roy Shoman. For more information on Roy, visit salvationisfromthejews.com. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.